Well, good morning. Bring greetings to each one of you in the name of Christ. It's good to be back here again. Worship at home after being gone a Sunday. I think we plan to be missing here again next Sunday as well, Lord willing, if our plans hold. Seems like we get busy this time of year, don't we? A lot of, trips maybe before school starts, family reunions, and so on. But let us, in all our busyness, not to remember to acknowledge the Lord. In all our ways, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Was that one of the verses I heard you children say this morning? In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Teach me, O Lord, that your verse preschool, and let's keep a teachable. Let's maintain a teachable attitude. We need to be teachable. We have a lot to learn in God, and we have a Lord God that knows, has the answers, and will direct us as we look to him. For a message this morning, we turn to Matthew chapter 5. Maybe a little shorter message this morning. We'll see how the Lord directs. Some of you know I like to look at church signs, read church signs, see what they say. I think I talk about it maybe different times. But I had passed a church sign. Oh, it's been a couple weeks now. And it had this verse from Matthew 5, I believe it's, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men, is what it said. And, I got my mind thinking, got my mind spinning this message this morning. Thought about some of that, letting our light shine. And I thought, and my mind kept going. I said, you know what? There's a lot of stuff in Matthew 5. And I thought, wonder how many messages you could bring from Matthew 5. And I contemplated doing that. And so when I looked at it, what I was thinking was the Sermon on the Mount, how many messages you could bring from the Sermon on the Mount. And I looked at it and I was like, there's quite a bit more to the Sermon on the Mount than Matthew 5. It goes all the way, beginning of Matthew 5 to the end of chapter 7. But I would like to, this to be the start of a series, I guess. Maybe we'll call it the Sermon on the Mount series. And I don't know how all we'll go about that. I'm not planning to take it in order. I plan to look at these verses, verse 16, especially here this morning. I'm not starting at the beginning, and I don't know that I'm just going to keep doing the series all in succession necessarily. There'll probably be some interruptions and so on. And I for sure don't want to be so presumptuous as to think that we can say everything that needs to be said from these verses and chapters. There is a lot of practical teaching, a lot of instruction from this great sermon by our Lord Jesus himself. All right, so the title for this morning, Let Your Light So Shine. Let Your Light So Shine, from verse 16. And as my thoughts were, as I already said, my thoughts were drawn to these couple verses. I'd like to pull some thoughts here this morning from these few verses surrounding. I'd like to think about letting our light shine. Before we get started, I was thinking of a very familiar children's song that comes from this verse. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Did you sing that this morning? I wasn't here for all the songs. I don't think you did. Why don't we sing that? I think there is at least four verses are pretty familiar to us. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no. Don't let Satan blow it out. and let it shine till Jesus comes. Let's sing this through. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine everywhere I go. Hiding under a bushel now, I'm gonna let it shine. Hiding under a bushel now, I'm gonna let it shine. Hiding under a bushel now, I'm gonna let it shine everywhere I go.
Don't let Satan blow it out,
I'm gonna let it shine.
Don't let Satan blow it out,
I'm gonna let it shine.
Don't let Satan blow it out,
I'm gonna let it shine everywhere I go.
Let it shine till Jesus comes,
I'm gonna let it shine.
Let it shine till Jesus comes,
I'm gonna let it shine.
Let it shine till Jesus comes,
I'm gonna let it shine.
All right, very good. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That's a fun song to sing, isn't it? We all like that song, at least I enjoy it. But what does it really mean to you and me this morning? It's pretty easy to sing that song. It's pretty easy to say, I'm going to let my little light shine, but, you know, really, it's a pretty big commitment. It's a pretty serious commitment, and it's... I'm going to say it's not nearly as fun and easy to live out at times, is it? All right, well, let's read these verses this morning, Matthew 5. Matthew 5, I'd like to read verses 13 to 16. Matthew 5, 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill, on an hill, cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. All right. Some thoughts from these verses this morning. We're not going to nearly say everything. Lots of practical direction we could take from this letting our light shine. And maybe you noticed verse 13. It's not about light there, is it? It's a little different thought than the rest of the verses, but I think it's actually much the same. I believe those verses kind of all have the same thought. I believe it's a parallel verse to the others. And there's two illustrations here that Christians are to be. We're to be the salt of the earth, and we're to be the light of the world. Like salt and like light in the world. And we could probably spend a lot of time talking about what salt does and how Christians are to be like salt. What light does. How Christians are to be like light. And how the two are similar and so on. We're going to mostly focus on light this morning and how we're to be a light. But I believe the main similarity, as I would see it, that these have, the lesson Jesus teaches from salt and from light, is that both of these make a difference. Both of these elements affect a change, could you say, by their presence. You know, think of a food that should have a little salt in, maybe like a casserole or something like that. Maybe you take a bite and you're like, ugh, not a lot there. It's a little bland. Could use a little sprucing up, you know. and you add some salt, and just tastes a lot better. Makes it taste so good. It makes all the difference. Makes a big difference in your food. Of course, you can overdo salt too in your food, right? Get a little too much of that in there. And you know, it's the same with light. Light can make a big change on the situation, could we say. Think of maybe if you're a mechanic or whatever, you have a project, trying to do a job, and you ever try to do a job that's just not adequate lighting? Just can hardly see? Can't see what you're doing? It can be so miserable. Such a struggle. It can be, you know, it can make the difference of whether a job is just fun to do or whether it's not. Well, yeah, mechanics, I have some little experience in that, and mechanics like lots of light. So it's nice to be able to see what you're doing. Okay, light can make a difference. It's a big, can really improve a situation. It's kind of interesting, as I was preparing for this, had a little illustration right at my place. I looked out last night and, wow, it's kind of dark out there. Actually, it was really dark out there. There's a big pole light there at my place, halfway between the barn and the house about. And that thing is usually on, and you can see everywhere. It lights up the house, lights up the barn pretty good. It was dark. It was out. And you couldn't see. In fact, I even noticed some of the rooms of the house were just really dark because just the light coming in, hitting the shades and reflecting and so on, would light the room. You would never have a problem seeing your way around. Light affects a change. And Jesus is saying here, talking to us this morning, talking to his disciples, his followers, both of these things affect a change. Jesus is telling us to be like salt that is good. You know, if the salt loses its salinity, I think that's the right word, loses its saltiness, it's no good. What do you use salt for? Use it in your food, and if it doesn't have any flavor, if it doesn't make a change, you might as well throw it out, he says. To be like good salt, and we're to be like a light that shines out and illuminates. A light that is useful. And he gives this illustration here. I really wanted to have a candle to bring along this morning for a little object, for a little visual, but we don't use candles very much in America, do we? Well, some maybe more than others. Probably a little different, type than what they had commonly here for light. But yeah, we have a little different version of lighting in our homes, I believe, than they did back then. We flip the switch, and the light comes on. But he says, men, you don't light a candle and put a bushel basket over it, I think is what he's saying. That's unheard of. You just wouldn't do that. It'd be like we came in this morning and Brother Sam, he had put some big black drapes over all the lights in here. We said, whatever. That doesn't make sense. No, a light is to be seen. And there's lots of It was kind of a big ado when we got new lights in this, wasn't it? In the building here, wasn't it? There was a little planning. We didn't just say, well, put them all in that corner back there. No, there was a place for them, and it was very important where we put the light, and it is in room lighting and so on. just have a few simple points here this morning. Number one, I have simply Christians, little lights powered by the big light. Now, I know there could be a lot of other ways to word that, and hopefully you can get past my terminology there. But the point I want to bring out is that we as Christians are not the light source. The light does not originate with you and me. What is the source? The source of the light is Jesus Christ. John 8, verse 12. You don't need to turn there. I just read that. He says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Jesus is the light of the world. He is the source of light, not us. So, how come he says here, ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light. In verse 14 here. Well, this morning, God has given you and I. God has given Andrew, Tim, all of you as Christians here, the light within you. We have Jesus Christ within. Maybe you could say, we're the lamp holders. That's our responsibility today. To be, could you say, little reflectors of that light. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, he starts out there by talking about the light. Maybe I'll just flip to the turn there for so they don't get confused. John chapter 1, he says there, he talks about the light. The word, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He goes on to say, introduces John here, John the Baptist, I believe. He says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. And he goes on to quickly say, in verse 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that's the responsibility that you and I, as Christians, have today, to bear witness of that light. We are not the light, we are bearing witness of the light. It says, as many as, down to verse 11 and 12, he came unto his, well, let's back up to verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And that is you and I this morning that have received Jesus Christ. We have received the power to become the sons and daughters of God, it says. Well, it says sons. But that includes everyone, children of God. We are not the light itself. But like John here, we bear witness of the light. We are little lights. This little light of mine, we're little lights of the big light, could you say, that is the source of Jesus. He is the light of the world. But yet Jesus still says here, ye are the light of the world. And you know, Jesus isn't here in bodily presence like he was when he gave this sermon, right? He was here in bodily form. But you know, he actually is here in bodily presence because he is here today in your heart and mine. Each one of us as Christians. They have been born again. He is here in bodily presence in that way. We have been given the light. We are to be the light today, reflecting the light of Jesus today, could we say. Secondly, Christians are to be a light for all to see. A light for all to see. As I said already, that's what lights are for. They're to shine, to be seen, or to help us see. Think of our vehicles, trucks. They have lights on there, so you can see that truck. You can see when he is, hopefully, when he's signaling to make a turn and so on. They're to be seen. We have headlights to help us see where we're going. Lights in the room to help us see and so on. We don't put a bushel basket. We don't cover the light. That's not what lights are for. But you place them where they give light and where they are helpful. Verse 4 here. I'm sorry, 14, the last part. He says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You think about that. Maybe a town you can think of that is on a hill. You can't hide it. It's there. Everyone can see it. I believe maybe Jerusalem was one of those cities. I've never been there. I've never seen. But that's what I'm recalling just right off. And as Christians, we are to be like that city on a hill. The light of Jesus will be seen. You can't hide it. It's not a light anymore if it's hidden. You put a bushel over your light, that light will eventually go out, at least in the very literal sense, I believe, of a light that they had, a candle. It needs oxygen to produce the light. You put a tight basket, container over it, eventually the oxygen will be used up and it will be snuffed out. And the light is no more. And as Christians, we're to be a light. We're to be a light for all the world to see. I believe as Christians, it's the same way. Our light can be snuffed out, could you say? And I was thinking about that. I thought, you know, what are some bushel baskets, could you say, that would hide our light? I'd like to turn to Matthew. Just flip a few pages over to Matthew 13. Very familiar story here of the parable Jesus gives of the sower. I believe we find that in the first few verses of the chapter. And later on, Jesus explains this parable to his disciples. And we have the different kinds. You remember this parable, the parable of the sower. The sower went forth, spread the seed, and there was different places the seed fell. And the seed is a type of the word. And the different places, the different types of soil is different people or different responses to the word. And Jesus gives some things here that will, could we say, smother our light. Maybe we think some of these things are more of a problem in our time, but I believe they have been snares that have always been there for people. Maybe a different form today, maybe a different form, different during different time periods. But I believe all, you say, things that will put out your light comes back to these main things that Jesus lists here. We have those that receive the word here in these several categories. And the one is the seed that fell on the wayside. Jesus says that's the one, that's like one who hears the word. Let's see, is that verse 19? Hears the word and doesn't understand it. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. It's one who hears the word but lets the evil one snatch it away. Could you say the light comes on? I guess you would say that. I'm not sure if that's correct. But it goes out again. Satan deceives that individual, and they're no longer a child of God. Don't let Satan blow it out, is what we're saying. This morning, sin will put out your light. Just mark it down. Sin will put out your light. We'll extinguish it. You can't expect to be shedding some kind of light for Jesus Christ and hiding sin. It will not work. Okay, and secondly, here we have the seed on that fell into the stony places. Verse 20, the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. So I see here is someone that receives the word, but it says there is no root. It's like a plant with no root. It's a person that is, maybe starts out serving Christ, claims Christianity. You know, Christianity is a great thing to claim. It's a popular thing to claim, isn't it? But they're not dedicated. It's not popular to be a dedicated Christian. And as soon as things get hard, hard times come, persecution and so on, could we say the light starts flickering and eventually goes out? And I believe this morning that this, could you say, easy street Christianity thing, that is a bushel basket that will cover up your light and eventually choke it out. We also have verse 22, the seed that fell among the thorns. He that also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word in the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. The care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Both of these two this morning will also smother the light and eventually put it out. It doesn't say the world is what chokes it. It doesn't say the riches are what choke the word. But it says the cares of the world. We let them be the focus. We let the cares start overwhelming us. That will choke the light. The deceitfulness of riches. We start getting deceived by that. That will choke our light. And I thought for an example of that, you know, of that rich young man that came to Jesus. He had it all figured out. It seemed like he did most things right. Jesus, they went over the law. And he said, yeah, I've kept all those things from my youth. What am I missing? And Jesus said, it's the riches. Sell them. Give them to the poor. And then come follow me. And he went away sorrowful. Those riches came between him and Jesus. Deceitfulness of riches will eventually choke out the light if we let them. Well, we have here, there at the end, the good ground. One who receives the word and doesn't let the thorns that hard soil is not there. Doesn't let those things, doesn't let the evil, the wicked one snatch it away and so on. So there's things that will cover our light. Hide it under a bushel. No. All right, thirdly, Christians are to be lights in the darkness. Lights in the darkness. Back here to Matthew 5. Philippians 2:15 says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Christians are to be lights in a dark world. You know, a candle or a light isn't really, it's not really needed where there's already a light. But no, it's useful in the dark. We're to be lights in a dark world. The world is a dark place today. It's always been a dark place. It seems like it's getting darker sometimes, doesn't it? The Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. The world's a dark place. So many deceived people, it seems. There are people searching for truth. And it seems like truth is so hard to find. How do you know what to believe? How do you know what's true? It's a dark place. The world is dark. Well, the darker it is, you know, with light, the more a light stands out. It's more contrast. It's more noticeable when it's darker. We as Christians are to be lights in this dark world. And this morning, you know, wherever we go, the darkness will flee if we're shining for Jesus like we should. The light of Jesus dispels darkness. You know, the darkness can't overcome the light. The light overpowers it in a natural way. The lights we have on have chased out the darkness here. In the same way, the light of Jesus overcomes the darkness of the world, the darkness of the kingdom of darkness. The light of the world, Jesus, the light, will prevail over that darkness. God's people are to be a light. Be that light in the darkness. You know, if there's a light in the dark, you can see it a long way off. You can see it for quite a distance. People are attracted to light. You know, if you're lost way out in the back 40 somewhere and it's totally dark, what do you look for? You look around. Ah, there's a light over there. You see the light. The light stands out. And you head toward that light. You don't head toward the darkness around. You head toward the light. There's probably people there. There's probably a house there. Light is attractive to people. This morning, is your light attractive to people? Is it a good reflection of the true light? Let's be a light in the darkness, like Christians are to be. Fourthly, Christians, a light for God's glory. Be lights for God's glory. What it says here in verse 16. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify what? You? No, glorify your Father which is in heaven. We're to be a light for God's glory. How about it this morning? Is your life in the darkness of this world, a light bringing glory to God. What kind of light are you this morning? What kind of light am I this morning? You know, sometimes the lights we use aren't always good lights. I have this little light here. I carry it a lot. Carry it about everywhere I go. It's a little stream light. Use it for about anything, whenever I need to see. But you know, it's not perfect. If I don't charge it, it just might not be bright when I need it. You have to plug it in every now and then. And it seems like I've had quite a number of these. I've lost a few. I've had some. Seem like they wear out. Seems like after they get older, you have a little connection issues maybe, and oh, they flicker around and blink, and especially when you really need them, you know. They don't always work. Probably know what that's like. Have a light. It blinks on and off, or it's flickering around. Very annoying, isn't it? Sometimes you're like, be better off without that light. This doesn't do any good. What about your light and my light this morning? Is it a clear and steady one? Or is it like some of our lights can be sometimes? A little flickering, a little dim. I believe it's not going to be much good if it's that way. You know, people around us, people see your life and mine. In everyday normal life, that's when people see us. What do they see? And as I said already, it's very easy to talk about letting your light shine this morning when you're here with fellow brothers and sisters. It's enjoyable to sing songs like we sang there, this little light of mine. You know, in some countries, in the past, even today, if you take a stand for Christ, you might just lose your life. It might cost you your life for claiming Jesus Christ. Certainly many times in the past, choosing Jesus meant you might lose everything. You might lose all everything you have and maybe die, maybe have to give your life for Jesus. Something we know nothing about here. And letting your light shine, it means standing out sometimes. People might think you're some kind of weird sometimes. But I believe this morning, if you and I, if we're clearly standing for truth, we're clearly standing for what God's word, for God's word and it, and what it teaches, I believe it's a light that will shine out to them, maybe regardless of what they say. Or what you think they are thinking. It might shine into their heart and life more than you realize. You know, this morning, you know, people know what God's people are to be like. Many do. Maybe not all of them, but many do. They know what kind of speech is fitting for a Christian and what kind just isn't. Just plum is not clean speech. They know what kind of driving is fitting for a Christian or not. They know what kind of business dealing is fitting for a Christian or not. They know, maybe even more than we do sometimes. You know, the people we meet, the people that observe us, we might just be a light for someone. We might just be that one light in the dark that they see and head toward. We might be the only Bible that they would read. Trim your lamp. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother. Some poor sailor, tempest-tossed, trying now to make the harbor in the darkness, may be lost. You know, I think that song was written way back when when lights, when there was a lamp. It took a lot of maintenance. It took a lot of care. They had to trim that wick to keep it burning right. They had to make sure the glass was clean, maybe wipe off the smoke, and so on. The reflectors and so on, some of those lighthouses had. They needed to make sure the fuel was there to keep the lamp going. It just took a lot of regular care. You couldn't just start it and leave it for a long amount of time. Well, this morning, today, it still takes a lot of maintenance to keep our Christian testimony free of such things that would smother the light. It really does. Let your light so shine, like this lamp that gives light to all that are in the house, that others may see and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Jesus bids us shine with a clear, pure light, like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, we must shine, you in your small corner, and I in mine. Let's kneel for prayer.